2 weeks hence, we are going to be completing the first, this time, in 2 weeks, we're going to be completing the first day of Shavuos and entering the second day of Shavuos. You know, every time I'm counting Sphira, I'm always amazed at how the time seems to pass so fast, and certainly that's the case in as we stand here today, just 2 weeks before the completion of Shavuos. There is a story about a melech. The story is just a story, but the idea is absolutely true. The story goes, and I've heard this in various versions. I heard it in the name of Rav Gifter, the Yeshiva of Tel Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and others. But it goes essentially, this is the idea. A melech wants to find out how loyal his subjects are. He brings them and calls everybody together in front of a massive 100-story building. And the sides of the building are very sheer. And he says to them, anyone who gets to the top will be able to enter my treasure house, and whatever you want to take is yours. People look at this building, you know, many people say, impossible, we just can't do it. Some people want money, is that badly? And some people, some are meshugging it. So therefore, the first man goes, you know, he has his climbing shoes, his spikes, whatever he needs to be able to go up the building. And he starts to go. And 20 stories, the people are clapping, it's fantastic, and there's ovations, and he's 30. By the time he gets to 40, his head is spinning. And he just says, I just give up. And he falls down. And he dies. He plummets to his death. This sobers up everybody right away because they see this is not fun. I mean, this is serious business. The next person goes, and he's going to try also. He pulls himself up. He gets past 40, and he's going, 41, 42, and he sees already it's not going to go. And before he falls, he grabs a hold of an open window, pulls himself in, he lives. But he comes down, you know, crestfallen. He didn't make it. The third fellow goes up. He's going to try it too. He goes past the 40. Seems to be 40 is not that bad. 40, 42, 43, 4. He's trying hard. His head is going, and he's fine. And before he falls, he grabs on to like a pipe, and he goes down with the pipe, but he lives. Again, humiliated, but fine, he did. Finally, and I should say, this is the way it's going to be finally, another fellow goes up, and he says to himself, if the king says you can make it to the 100th floor, you can make it, and I'm going to do it. And he starts to go, and he starts to go, and he too goes past the 40th floor, 41, 42, 43, and as he's going, and the people are looking, and they just see nobody else has made it, but he keeps, and his body is hurting, and he just can't possibly go, and he's going, and he's slowly, 45, 46, and he just can't, you know, it's hard to breathe, and everything you can imagine. 46, 47, 8, 9, and finally, 50, and a door opens up, and he's schlepped in, and the lift takes him to the top. He gets to the top, and he's able to get the treasure. Really, this, of course, is the marshal. It's only a story, but it's a marshal to the Klal Yisrael going through that period of time from Eretz Mitzrayim to Har Sinai. It's really, in microcosm, the marshal of what every person does when he tackles Torah And if he wants to grow in Torah, he gives of himself till he can't give anymore. But that is a major, major idea. That siyata dishmaya comes when a person gives of himself as much as he could. Siyata dishmaya kicks in. That means a sugya, a person's working so hard at working on a chabura. He starts off like, you know, how are things going to mesh? How's it going to go? I can't see how it's going to go. He goes over the shear. I don't think I can even do it, but he tries and tries and tries. I don't think I can stay up. I don't think I can. How many people have started out in the beginning of a Shavuos night, for example? I can't imagine 4 or 5 hours trying to work it through. And when they persevere, it works, and it goes. And that's the same way. Many of us wouldn't be here now if along the way we threw in the towel. But the fact is, the Siyata Dishmaya works, because the fact is, when it says that the people at Har Sinai were Nevi'im, it's a simple reason that they're Nevi'im. Because how can anyone ever come to understand the Das Hashem? The Das Hashem is so different than everything. It's not possible except through huge siyata dishmaya that really came at Har Sinai through Nevuah. Otherwise, there'd be no way whatsoever. Moshe Rabbeinu would be the one who would be doing it, but nobody else would be able to get through. And that is for sure. Yamsuf, Nachshon Ben Aminadab, jumps in. The Yidden go up till the water and things part. A person has to start on his own to be able to do with that Isarusa Dilatata, that arousal of himself, and then it starts to work. And that's what we see. People who said earlier, I don't think even, something so simple, but it's not so simple, I don't even know if I can make a Sfiris HaOmer all the way through and still be making a bracha, and you know, at the end. It didn't happen. When I was in America, I never seemed to get through the whole thing. But interestingly enough, a person keeps at it, takes it more seriously every single time, puts in the safeguards that he needs, and lo and behold, he's able to have and be able to have that type of siyata dishmaya to be able to see it through. And that's for sure. The chol levavcha, the chol nafshecha, the chol modecha. A person tries to give himself over totally. By the way, that's the way the Rambam says. It works that way with nevuah too. A person is involved in being a Navi. He's an usher. He's a wealthy person. He's a chacham. He's a gibor. He has strength, both strengths in his midos and physical strength as well. And he tries so hard. He brings himself from levels of kedusha to tahara. And things he just works. He's constantly working at connecting. And the Rambam says, after he's connecting, there is a gift of nevuah that comes upon him, and he's not the same person. It's something that comes through siyata dishmaya. He can't possibly get it himself. It just comes upon him. And that's the way Hashem works. The Rambam, I heard from the guy, the Rambam as a youth was not an outstanding student. He was not an outstanding learner. Can you imagine that? The Rambam is brought down in Svarim. How can Torah is not necessarily given only to the Mensa people. We've mentioned it time and time again. Mensa is an honor society for those people who are brilliant. That's not the way it works. It works through work and work and work. And how many brilliant people, unfortunately, just don't make it, but the workers do. Because they get, it's more than just, well, he tried so very hard. With Torah, siyata dishmaya. And that is indeed the way it works. Think of it for a moment. Shemitah. We yesterday went through Shemitah, in Parshas Bahar. The Gemara says, Giborei Koech Oseh Dvaro. The people who keep Shemitah, week after week, month after month, are the Gibori Koach. They're the ones who say, how could it be possible? And now it's in their grasp. Oh, you know, we're getting close to the finish line. Baruch Hashem. And here, people have kept it, and it goes and siyata dishmaya, something I never thought I could do. That's the key. When I look at a mesechta, I say, I can't. But on the contrary, think of how many Tommy people have already made a siyum on Kedusha, Baruch Hashem, and it gets more and more. It's a wonderful thing to be able to see at the end of the Zman, all of a sudden, all these siyumim happening, and along the way, smaller mesechtas. That's the way it is. Page at daf after daf after daf, amud after amud. The Sefer Achinuch says in reference to Shemitah, that Shemitah teaches three major things. Emuna, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu could ever say to us, we are going to have food, not just food, you know, for the after the seventh year, you're going to get through the seventh year, but I'm going to give you enough food in the sixth for the seventh and into the eighth year. Because remember, no planting during that time. So therefore, how am I going to even eat after the Shemitah year is over? Emuna, who else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make such a promise? And Yovel, in between. It has to be for the 49th year, the 50th year, a period of an extra year. Impossible, impossible for any human being to make a promise for the people, which is a suicidal promise. And that's the second part of Shemitah. Not only does one see the Amunah B'Hashem, but there's Bitochen. Bitochen, Hashem's going to do it. A self-imposed famine. That's what Shemitah is, a self-imposed famine. People don't plant. You have to subsist on things that grow. You just don't know what's going to grow. And that's what happens over here in the Indian of Shemitah. Emuna, Bitochen. And finally, Vatranas. A person learns to give. Every person innately wants to give. We're a Selam Elokim. We want to be givers. We don't want to be takers. But at the same time, when we have something like Shemitah, Shemitah is a fantastic, fantastic opportunity for a person to be a giver. In the Aleph Beis, the Gemara in Shabbos says, the gimel, a printed gimel, the leg of the printed gimel is pointed after the dalet. The head of the dalet, the face of the dalet, is facing away from the gimel. But gimel is gimel daling. A dal is a person who is poor. Gimel is to give. Give to the daling. Give to the poor. Because that's what we're supposed to do. And the fact is that opportunity, Shemitah and other opportunities are to be able to take care of others. And this mitzvah is something which is emphasized in the Shemitah year and time around. The Ohev Yisrael, the Apter Rav, says that when a person gives tzedakah to somebody, a person gives a, it doesn't make a difference how much tzedakah that we give. Even a pruta, even an agora, can open up the Pesach for this person that he should now get siyata dishmaya to come out of his poverty. Think of it. Anyway, a Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to be the one to be able to help a person to sustain himself. It's not you. It's not I. It's a Kaddish Baruch Hu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants someone to do something to start the ball rolling. So when we give some tzedakah to a person sometimes says, listen, I don't, he puts his hand in his pocket, he pulls out a pruta. I'm embarrassed. I'm going to give, you know, just one agora, I mean, I'll give a shekel. I mean, I want to give. Listen, you're not the one who's going to take care of this person anyway. It's going to be HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he wants to have somebody to start it off. And when that happens, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will then give that person, perhaps at this time, the opportunity to get out from under. And you could be the person, we could be the person to be able to do it. It's a kedai to always have change, planning. It's like everything else when we plan. We put a few little bit of change in our pockets, opportunity to give tzedakah abound, especially in our yeshiva too. Start off in the morning with davening, and so pasha dazeh, and opportunities, that ani comes in, you never know when somebody, some come on a schedule, what an opportunity. You never know if it's to an individual person himself, we may do the trick, so to speak, and give him the opportunity to get the siyata d'shmaya just from that isarusa d'latata, that arousal of kedusha that we're the ones to be able to come. But even without that, there's a consideration. The Nesivah Sholem has indicated that sometimes we may be in a position that we need that oni. Who knows what a Kadosh Baruch Hu has in store for any person? Nobody knows. But what does happen is this. A person, let's say, is given that little quiz. It's a little quiz. But his life depends upon it. His health may depend upon it. Maybe something to do with his family, extended family. Who knows? But here the ani comes in. And the person puts that coin in his hand or puts it into the box. And all of a sudden, he goes up a madreka. And whatever was coming here, he's not there anymore. So the fact is, tzedakah tatzil mimoves. Tzedakah can help a person himself be able to move away from an unpleasant situation. He's not the guy. He's here. This is coming this way, but he's not here. He's out of the way. Makes a world of a difference. Tzedakah tatzil mimoves certainly can be going on the oni, but tzedakah tatzil mimoves is, in this case, going on oneself. When I first learned this Nesivah Sholem, I sat down to eat supper, and there was a knock in the door. This is in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm thinking of it specifically, and I just learned about this idea that you never know where this opportunity arises. And here, it's a knock at the door. So I went down, and I come to the door, and I greeted this man with such warmth, like wow, and. So, because I was thinking in this case, not just of him, I was thinking of myself. But that talk is part of the idea of being able to help a person as such. Sometimes a person says, listen, I don't know who I'm really giving to. It may be that sometimes I give my money to somebody who's not 100% legitimate. And of course, if we feel a person is not legitimate, of course we don't give. But if there's a suffix, person decides. That's why they say fingers are different size fingers. If a person clenches his fist and he's not a giver at all, so they're all the same size, nothing. But if a person opens up his hand, so he decides, just like the fingers are different, so too is his giving different. Okay, fine. But let's say a person comes and I want to be able to give. So a Meiser Shehoya sheds light on the giving in a sefer that's over 100 years old, the Kilas Yitzchak. The Kilas Yitzchak speaks about Reb Chaim Volozhin. Reb Chaim Volozhin had his yeshiva, and he sent out collectors to be able to sustain the yeshiva. One man went to a small village, and a person in the village gave 50 ruble. In those days, 50 ruble, a lot of money, far beyond the means of this person who gave the money. The Chaim Volozhin took note of it. Fine. Along as the years went on, the collector in that district asked Reb Chaim for, instead of walking and having to go through the idea of collecting money and having to wait for somebody who was going to pick him up maybe, or if he didn't, he'd have to walk and take time. Instead, he said, listen, he could be able to do much better if he'd have a wagon, and he'd have horses in a wagon. And Reb Chaim said, that's fine. And then he said, I'm not just a great driver. I should have some boy to be able to take me around. That's fine. And he said, I feel it's good too if I have clothing, which, makes me look a little more choshev. I think I'll be able to get better nedavis for the yeshiva if they see that the person that sent doesn't come with a threadbare suit. It looks better. And Chaim said, it's true, because it's all true. So the person went. This time he went to the village. And when the man saw this villager would have been giving 50 rubles way beyond his means, saw the horses, the driver, the clothes, he made a decision. Without explaining why, he didn't give anything that year. The collector goes back, and when Rav Chaim Volozhin is looking over the books, nothing. What happened? I don't know. Didn't tell. Didn't explain. Next time you go, I want to go with you. It wasn't the question of the 50 ruble. The yeshiva will go without the 50. But he figured, what is wrong? What Lashon Hara did the person excited to hear? Or who knows what? So, So the when he goes, the person like is like just like Chaim Volozhin comes. Rabbi Chaim said, "What happened?" He says, "Rabbi, I won't withhold anything. I'll tell you the emes." And he does. He says, "When I saw the collector come, and he is wearing what he's wearing, the horse, and I said, no, my money, I want my money to go to the Bochrim. I don't want my money going for horses or going for wagons or for the collectors. I want it going right to the spot." So Rav Chaim Volozhin said, "Listen, did you have you learned Gemara?" "I haven't learned Gemara, just Chumash." "Chumash, wonderful," he said. "Let's take a look at Chumash." So they turned to Parshas Vayakhel, Pasuk Lamed. Pasuk Lamed, Perik Lamed Hey, Pasuk Lamed, Lamed Aleph, and Lamed Beis. Moshe says to the Klal Yisrael, "Betzalel is the one who's going to put the Mishkan together." Vayimaleo so Ruach Elokim. Hashem fills him with Ruach Elokim, bechokma, tfuna, das, b'chol malacha, and he gives him all an understanding in depth with chokma, wisdom, and das, and understanding, and everything, and how to make the Mishkan. And then he says as well, he's able, lachshov, machshavos, lasos, bezov, kesef, and nechoshes, and he's able to work with metal, with gold, with zah, with kesef, with copper. So Reb Chaim Volozhin says, "You know, after such a buildup, that Hashem gives him, he fills him with chokma, tfuna, das. Wow! He gives Bezalel such understanding, and then it just says he's working with metal. I don't know. He seems to be even overqualified. Why does he have such extensive insights when he's working with metal? Say instead that he has an ability to work with his hands to be able to do. What's this thing?" So Reb Chaim says, "You know, Bezalel not only knew how to do all of the elaborate work and lead people in making it, but he understood in his work what kavanas the people had when they gave what they gave. If a person, did a person give his giving to the Mishkan, did he give it kul l'shem shemayim, or did he have covet in mind too? Did he have only covet in mind, or did he have something else? What was his kavana?" And because the Kaddish Baruch Hu was memale Bezalel, with chokhmah, with bina, with das, he had an understanding of what their kavana was too. And it made a difference. Because everybody wanted their money to go into the Kodesh Kedoshim. But was their offering worthy of going to the Kodesh Kedoshim? Everybody wanted it to be able to go into the Azara, into the Ezras Yisrael, or the Ezras Noshim. Everybody wanted to go into its particular Darga. But where's it going to go? But Salil not only knew what to do, but he knew whose money to place where. Whose gold or silver and nechoshes, because he had the deeper idea. He said, that's the same way now. With our yeshiva too. You don't have to worry that your money, if it was really given, kul l'shem shemayim, it's not going to go for the horses. It's not going to go to the wagon. It'll go to the bachur. That's the way it goes. It's going to be contingent. It's going to be dependent upon the way that you gave it. If you give it kula l'shem shemayim, don't worry. It'll go where it's going to go. It's like, you know, when the Rosh Yeshiva took money from certain people to put up their buildings, some used the money to be able to build the bathrooms in the yeshiva. Others, the Beis HaMedrash. It depended how what they thought themselves, or how they felt, or how they knew the kavanas of people when they gave. And that's the way it works too. When we give money to tzedakah, and I'm not just speaking about now, but each one of us will always be for the rest of our lives have opportunities to give tzedakah. Whatever we give, not only will we benefit from it because, again, tzedakah tatzil min mothers, not only is it going to be a benefit because we may open up a Pesach for the Ani or for the institution when we give for an institution, but the fact is that these opportunities are there and our money will go where it's supposed to go depending upon the purity of our giving. So it's more equally or even more so, I'd be more concerned about myself than the person himself. If I really have, it's only a suffix. Again, I say, if I was, I felt certain that the person or the whatever was the collecting was not on the up and up, I would be, I certainly wouldn't give something. But if other than that, you give depending upon, like we say, the fingers of our hands as well. I know that next week there is another speaker. So I want to share something that I always speak about before Shavuos. I want to end with this idea. Some of you may remember, and some of you not. Some of you certainly have never heard. The Gemara speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu going up to the Shemayim to get the Torah. The Malachim don't want most of the Jews to get the Torah. Their approach is, Klal Yisrael are not going to keep it. So don't give it. Let it stay here, up here with us in the Shemayim. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Moshe, answer them. They have a good point. After all, Torah, we want to have Kedushas HaTorah, we want to have Kavod HaTorah, and the Malachim are saying, it's not going to be here, it's not going to be in the on Eretz, it's going to be here in the Shemayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Malachim, do you have parents to honor? No. Were you in Eretz Mitzrayim? No. Do you have other gods that you have to be involved with? Lo Yelech Elohim Acherim? And he goes through Aseres Adibros, and it's clear that the Torah is not from Malachim. It's like, the Shaila is, what's the Havanina? How could they ever, fine, they have a tiny, it won't be, it'll be problems, but how could they think it's for them? It's not for them. Many Teresim are given. The Duvna Magid gives a beautiful teretz that it's kedai for us to know. The Magid says, he gives an example, of course, a moshel, of a rav who was in a small town, got permission from his balabatim to leave for an interview for a larger city, and he did, and he got a job in a larger city. He had been in a smaller town for years. He took care of people from cradle to grave. And now, the time he's going to leave, everybody's sad. But they gave him permission to go. And he sells his house. He's ready to go. And he's standing in front of his house with his wife, his children, and there's a wagon with a horse coming to pick him up. And he's going to go to the new job. Then it's it, to take care of a larger community. And what happens as the horse and the wagon come close, all of a sudden, all the people in the town come around, they ring around, they stand around the horse, they lock arms, and they scream, no, no, never, never, our rabbi's not going. Well, he is humiliated. The horse gets spooked, turns around, runs away with the wagon. He calls for a town meeting, and he gives it to the people. He said, all these years I've given to my heart, my soul, everything our family has, and you behave in such a way, and the time for me to leave, and you gave me permission, and you gave me a dinner, and you gave me everything. Oh, fine. When he's finished, the president of the shul gets up. He says, Rabbi, I want you to know that everything we did is for you. We know we can't keep you. We know, we gave permission, you had already accepted a contract. We know, we know, we know. But Rabbi, we want them to know how important you are to us. And had we been able to keep you, we would have, because you're very dear to us. And we would never, never, on our own, allow you to leave. We want them to, they'll send you another wagon, and they'll take you, but we want them to know how chashuv. And says the Duvna Magid, that's the pshat in the Gemara. The Malachim are saying, no, no, never, never. The Torah stays here. The Torah doesn't go down there. We want the Torah for us. And we know, they knew they couldn't keep it. The Torah wasn't set up for them. But the fact is, they want us to know. 3,327 years later. Imagine that, 3,327 years later. That if the Torah is so choshev, that if the angels in heaven could have kept it, that they would have. Ashreinu, ma tov chalkeinu. Agutanach.